look for a moment in verse 33, Matthew 24, 33. You come to Jesus and say, everything's falling apart. Don't you care? Remember the disciples said that to Jesus? He's in the, they're in the boat in the storm. And don't you care that we perish? Jesus comes walking on the water. He's already got under his feet what threatened to be over their heads. Amen. Don't forget that as the troubled waters come in the last day scenario. Jesus, everything has fallen apart. Verse 33, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it's the whole chapter is about the second coming of Jesus. The greatest event in the history of the world was the coming of the Lord Jesus in Bethlehem. When you see all these things, that's where I come up with this word, convergence. When you see it all come, say it with me, together. Convergence. I remember my dark days. I grew up in Mansfield, Ohio, a little village called Lucas, and the drug culture came through, and I used drugs for a couple years, then a couple more years, drugs used me, and that was my world. And I got invited out to church. Young lady, rather attractive. Want to go to church with me? I'm like, chick, I'd go to the dentist with you. She took me to church, and I heard a man of God open the Word of God and the Spirit of God through the prayers of my great-grandma, the Mosier. She prayed in 1962, May 6th, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm old. I have no money. I'm dying. I have no money. I have no health. I have no strength. I have no talents. I have no gifts, but I have many grandsons. In Jesus' name, please save one of my grandsons and call him to preach. 2 years later, she died. 8 years later, God saved her most unlikely grandson and called him to preach. Doesn't God write amazing stories? You know, you are a God story. You have no clue what he's got up his sleeve for you. He wants to reveal some things to us. My old friend Roach, any of you have a friend named Roach? I was jealous of his name. I thought I deserved that. I visited church with Jeannie. I was under conviction. I didn't know what that meant. I thought I was just going crazy, man. I can't stop thinking about God. I don't want to go to hell. If there's a heaven, I want to go there. What's wrong with me? Something's wrong. And I'm under conviction. I go up this pond along the highway near my house, pretending that I was fishing. I might have smoked a bowl of dope. I might. And I'm buzzed. I'm by the pond pretending I'm fishing. Here's the highway. Through the woods comes Roach. And we connect. And he gave the greeting. Hey, what's happening, man? Of course, I had no clue. And I was honest with him. I have no clue what's happening. And I'm troubled by it. I'm troubled. I said, you know what's happening, man? He had no clue. And he gave me the greatest counsel anybody ever gave me. He said, wow, man, if God ever talks to you, man, listen to him. And I said, dude. A lot of different meanings to the word dude, amen? Dude. It could be a question. It could be a comment. It could be, dude, isn't that good counsel? If God talks to you, if God omnipotent, omniscient, eternal, immutable God talks to you. I'd say that's pretty cool. Turns out he's talking to us, man. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. He's explaining what's happening. Everything's not falling apart. It's all coming together. When you begin to see all these things, that's what we're going to be talking about today. Sunday school hour, I'm going to do a thing called COVID or Not, Here I Come. This is a church I can really be my real self at. You guys have been conditioned with some straight up preaching. So I don't have to be halfway with you guys. Convergence. The first time Jesus came, it was all about convergence. Immediately after Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God shows up. They hide from God. Adam, where art thou? Shows God had a sense of humor, amen. God knew where he was at. I played that game with my grandkids. Gia, where are you? I can't find you. She's right in the middle of the room. She thinks if she can't see me, I can't see her. So I do the game. Gia, where are you? And then she jumps out. Oh, there you are. You scared me. And have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you thou shalt eat thereof? The woman! He blames her. God didn't buy that. How many of us guys have tried that and failed? And so immediately God began to unfold. I knew you'd blow it. God had a plan to fix the problem before there even was a problem. That's pretty cool. And he began to explain to them. He spoke to the devil who brought on this deception and sin. They were accountable for their disobedience to God. I commanded thee, thou shalt not eat thereof. The day thou eat thereof, you surely die. God kept his word. And God, before he even kicked him out of the garden, began to explain, I got a plan to fix this thing. He spoke judgment to Satan. I'm going to destroy you, paraphrased words here. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to crush your head. Here's how I'm going to do it. Through the seed of a woman, I'll crush your head. It will bruise your heel, but he, masculine gender, will crush your head. He's talking about Jesus. The first prophecy of the Bible is a messianic prophecy that the coming Redeemer will come. Adam and Eve have no clue what God's talking about, nor do any of us, until he begins to enlighten us. Seek, and we'll find. And so Adam and Eve are listening, and I'm going to crush you through the seed of a woman. I am seed of my mother and father. How many of us here are seed of our mother and father? I believe that's all of us. This is kind of a weird prophecy. A male child, masculine gender, is going to come someday through the seed of a woman. A woman without a man is going to have a male child that's going to crush the devil's head. Jesus said, that would be me. No earthly father. Wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all for all of sin. Romans 5:12, 5:8, somewhere in there. Jesus had the sinful nature that we all have. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. Comes from our earthly father. Jesus had no earthly father. Therefore, he had no sinful nature. Therefore, he was tempted in all points as we were tempted, yet without sin. The Holy One, the Lamb of God without sin, without stain, is going to come. There's all this theology, all this doctrine, this program of God with excellence and foreknowledge. God knows what he's going to do, and he does what he tells us he's going to do. And so he began to give the details about the coming of the Redeemer, the seed of a woman. Then we fast forward, and that's why Cain killed Abel, to try to stop the seed line. And so this is battle between God and Satan, good and evil. The epic battle of the universe, Clash of Titans, is on. And we're part of it. God told us the end from the beginning. That's what you do when you're the Alpha and Omega, the great I Am. Amen? Yeah. History's no mystery. He told us the end from the beginning. People say, what's happening? God said, what a stupid question. I already told you what's happening. For those people, it was the coming of the Redeemer. And so clue after clue after clue, prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, is unfolded in the Old Testament, the call of Abraham. You fast forward, you know, almost 2,000 years, the call of Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, I'll make of you a great and mighty nation, I'll give you your own land, I'll bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, and from your seed will the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior will come, and all of the world will be blessed. Here we are, 9,000 miles away, and we're being blessed today by the seed of Abraham. It was all laid out in advance. A seed of a woman, a virgin. I think Isaiah clarified that a bit. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I'm excited. Oh, man. Isn't this good news? I remember the darkness. I remember waking up. Who am I? Why am I here? What's going on? Now I know. And he put a fire in my heart. And I trust he'll put a fire in your heart. And I'll throw some gasoline on your sparks this week if you'll come out. And we'll take you into what's happening in our world today. Fulfillment of what he said long ago. History's no mystery. He's doing exactly what he said he would do. So he begins to give the Old Testament clues. Seed of Abraham. And then Abraham begets Isaac. Isaac begets Jacob. Jacob has the 12 sons. Which of the 12 sons will the Redeemer come through? Genesis 49. Through Judah, the lawgiver will come. Of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Judah, and then God lifts up King David, of your lineage, one will sit upon the throne of Israel forever. Jesus, Redeemer, Savior, lineage of King David. He's getting really specific. And all these prophecies of the Redeemer will come. He'll be born in Bethlehem, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Out of Egypt I've called my son. His name shall be called a Nazarene. And Daniel prophesied the timing of the coming of the Redeemer. 69 weeks, or the week, word weeks is the Hebrew word for seven years. Seven times 69 is 483 years after the signing of the decree of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. The Savior will come. Right on time, here comes Jesus. Now, those of us who've cheated know the prophecies. We know what to look for. So did they. You meet Jesus, all I need to do is say, show me your genealogy. He shows me, you're the man. He fulfilled all of that. Now, we're coming to the time of the birth of Jesus. He's got to be born in Bethlehem, right? Mary and Joseph are living where? Nazareth. Houston, we have a problem. God's like, yeah, I know. I can do this. And so, there comes a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxation was done when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And you have to return to the city of your birth. That's a bit inconvenient for Joseph and his espoused wife, Mary, who was now great with child. And so God has to use a pagan king, a pagan president, a pagan prime minister, somebody who hates God, knows nothing about God, is still used by God to accomplish God's purpose. And Joseph has to. It wasn't fun. Can I file the papers and pay later? Can I send somebody with the money for me? He's got to take Mary with him. And I mean, normally you'd think maybe my mother-in-law or my mom will stay with her and I'll go pay. No, Mary's with him. God gets them to Bethlehem when the contractions begin. He's probably thinking, oh no! And God said, oh yes, I know what I'm doing. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, grave clothes. He was born to die. See, God has a program. He unfolds his program. I call that the glove of prophecy and the hand of reality. And what he did the first time, when everything converged, the right seed line, the right family tree, tribe of Judah, the right time, Daniel, 483 years. God's timing is perfect. We look back, do we agree his timing is perfect?
Yeah.
I think it still is. Yeah. I think the second coming will be at a perfect time. When I'm raptured out, I'm hoping it's slow enough. I know in the twinkle of an eye, that's pretty fast. But I'm hoping that when I'm raptured out, God will permit me to yell back to earth, "Told you so!" Amen? These things must converge. That's the way God's always done it, and he's doing it again. Let me give you something else. Remember when he was here the first time? Disciples, "Don't go to Jerusalem. It's too dangerous. They're trying to kill you." And Jesus is like, "We're going to Jerusalem. I'm not fear-driven." And those people whom the disciples feared, on the Jewish side, the Sanhedrin, Caiaphas, the high priest, Annas, the former high priest, Caiaphas' father-in-law, they hate Jesus. He knows it. On the Roman side, Pilate, Herod, they hate Jesus. For different reasons, they hate him. They can't control him. You know what's really cool? After the resurrection, the Bible says Jesus appeared first to Mary Magdalene after the resurrection. I would have appeared to Pilate. Easter morning, I'd have knocked on his window. Those people make the application. These people. Those people who hated Jesus. These people who call us deplorable because we believe in absolute truth, because we believe Jesus is the Son of God, because we believe that life begins at conception. We believe that God is the author of life and God has not killed us, called us to kill babies. Those of us who are deplorable, those people in those days who hated him are no different than the people who hate him today. And God used them to accomplish his purpose. That comforts me. When I listen to what is happening in the news, and you don't hear the news on the news, you hear the propaganda. Okay? But I do like to know what they're talking about, which is just a smokescreen from what's really happening. What's really happening is what we're going to talk about this week. God is fitting it all together exactly as he said he would do. The alignment of the nations is coming. What's up with Russia? How does this fit in with Ukraine? What about technology? Remember reading Revelation chapter 13 in 1972, Mark of the Beast? He gives power, the false prophet gives power for the image of the beast to speak. I had not yet heard of artificial intelligence. I talked to Siri every day. She told me how to find your church. She's wicked smart. Now we have the other gal that sits in on us. What's her name? We talk to her all the time. Alexa, yeah, they're smart. You know, they're listening. Alexa's listening. You know that, don't you? People say, "You're going to give up all your stuff. They're going to know what you really believe." Amen. That's the point. "Hey, Alexa, Jesus saves. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved. Alexis, have you given your heart to Jesus? Tell your fact checkers they need Jesus. He's coming back. They're not ready. There's a place called hell. Jesus doesn't want them to go there. That's why he came here, so they don't have to go there." So they already know where I'm at. They know everything. That's tomorrow night. I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. I had a Bible here earlier. Here it is. Notice the time frame. Back up one verse to verse Matthew 24:33. "So likewise, ye when ye shall see," or verse 32, "now learn a parable of the fig tree." New York, spring comes to New York. Even New York, spring comes. July, about July 4th, spring begins. "Learn the parable of a fig tree. When its branches are tender, put it forth leaves." You know that summer is near. Summer is nigh. And so he gives these signs. Tonight I'm going to give the greatest sign of all. The rebirth of the modern state of Israel. Oh my. Oh my. Right before our eyes. I saw it happen on the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite, June 10th, 1967. And that's the way it was. But if you don't know the prophecies, you have no clue. People are just blind, being led by the blind. It all has to converge. We see the leaves budding out on the trees. We know summer's near. Matthew 24 is what we call the Olivet Discourse. He's on the Mount of Olives. Olivet message. It's recorded in all the Synoptic Gospels. It's recorded in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. They all have the same outline. Some of them have just a specific thing that the others might leave out. But in all of them, it says, be not deceived. Don't be deceived. God wants to open your eyes to understand what he's doing. He wants us to understand where it's all heading so that when we listen to the propaganda, we'll understand. I do want to take you to Revelation 13 because it's foundational for where we're going all week. Revelation 13. It's 1972. I come out of the drug culture. I bow to the feet of Jesus. He calls me into the ministry. I'm going to read the Bible, man, the whole Bible. And I probably read the book of Revelation sooner than I should have because I said, I'm going to read Revelations, man. And I did, and I got to this. This is 1972. This is back when we used to use cash to buy things. Remember those days? Before UPC symbols, before scanners, before 5G, before facial recognition, before artificial intelligence, before space links, before the cloud. Remember when the cloud used to be, you know, water vapor up in the sky? Remember? So it's 1972, I'm reading this. And we see the rise of the Antichrist. His deadly wound is healed. And it says, all the world wondered after the beast. The world was watching. Do you understand the technical side of these verses? It's talking about an all the world wondered at. It's a global issue. There was no global anything for nearly the first 6,000 years of, for 5,900 years of man's history, there was nothing global. Revelation says in the time of the end, everything will be global. You listening?
Yeah.
It's all heading towards globalism, which means the nations must surrender their sovereignty. You see? Got to know what to expect. All the world wondered after the beast. His deadly wound is healed. Maybe it's an assassination attempt. It looks like he's dead. It looks like he's alive. He's going to claim to be God, 2 Thessalonians 2. Sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And they see this. The whole world sees this. You got to have television. You got to have satellites. You got to have communication system in place for all the world to see this. Every eye shall see. How many of us saw the Twin Towers go down? Planes hit? Were you there? No, but you saw it about 1,000 times, right? Do you see the technocracy that is unfolding here? I could not see that in 1972. I'm like, I've got to take this literally? Okay. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I'll take it literally, but it was like a Star Trek movie to me, man. Okay, I believe it. But I didn't know how it would fit together. Now I do. Now I can see it. Notice in verse 14, Revelation 13, 14, and deceiveth them. Deception. He's going to make things look different from reality. Technology. See the growing technology? And what they can do now? And make people look like somebody that's not who they really aren't. And they can edit things down and they can animate things. And you see something and now you don't even know what to believe. All this that we see that we don't know if it's even true or not is really a fulfillment of prophecy. Deception, it is here. But notice, this is what I want to kind of zoom in here. Verse 15, and he had power. This is the false prophet had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, artificial intelligence, voice recognition, speaking. And like I say, we take this is every day. Every day I talk to Siri. I say, you know, Siri knows her Bible. Siri, where can I find this in the Bible? She knows her Bible well. I don't use a concordance anymore. Siri is my concordance. But I think she's mostly on the devil's team. But if she'll help me save some time to redeem, I'll let her do it. He had power to give image of the beast, both life, that should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. This is absolute tyrannical government. Next hour, COVID or not, here I come. The tyranny has begun. Even in America. I live in New York, 44 years in New York. We know tyranny. I know what's before the New York State Assembly, what our new governor, Hochul, we went from bad to worse, or from horrible to horribler, more horrible, horribler. I make up words sometimes. They want to vax our children behind our backs with no parental decision. They don't want the parents to have any voice in the education of our children. They want to mandate 73 vaccines, not counting the COVID vaccines. You think there might be a reason for the autism thing? Just saying. Tyrannical. They want to take away Social Security benefits for the unvaxxed. I had COVID early on, didn't have it too bad, got the antibody. I've been exposed 100 times. I'm good. But I'm deplorable. I'm not a good global citizen. I'm dangerous. And we've seen for those that have been vaxxed and double vaxxed and boosted, it doesn't stop COVID. That's a fact. And so they want to take away Social Security benefits. They want to deny medical access. These are laws before the New York State Assembly. Deny medical access for anybody that's unvaccinated. So we're leaving. I promised the Lord I'd do 40 years in New York. I've done 44. And we're heading to South Carolina in November. I'm going to move back to America. I loved America. I love your church. I don't walk on eggshells around here. Your preacher's crazy enough to have me come in. You ought to pray for him. Notice verse 17, that no man by herself. So he had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom led him and hath understanding count the number of the beast as number of a man. Number 600, 666. Mark of the beast. I remember reading that in 1972. It's like, really? And then we had credit cards come in. There's nothing evil about the technology. Have you guys listened to Yusef Noah Harari? He's the right-hand man of Klaus Schwab, head of the World Economic. You should write that down and just listen to him. He's pulling no punches. Yusef, Y-U-S-E-F, Noah, like in the Bible, Harari, H-A-R-A-R-I. Obama promoted him, loves him. He's their man to explain where they're going with technology. They're no longer just hacking our computers, hacking my Facebook page. I get hacked every month. People, who would want to be me? God said one was plenty. Now they're talking about hacking human beings. And they're tying it to vaccines that are in the planning stage. I'm going to give you 23 objectives of the deep state, of the globalists, in their own words. It was written in 1992. I'm going to give that to you this week, in their own words. In 1992. Remember when George Bush the older said, "We'll worry about that in the New World Order"? Yep. This is from that document. This isn't a conspiracy theory. This is just listen to what they're saying. They're telling us what they're going to do. And they mean it. The devil plays hardball. What time do I need to be done, preacher? What time? No, I'm seriously, it's 9:08 up here, is that right? 10 minutes? Okay, I'm cool. There's none cool, no, not one, I know that, so. I just want to respect time because we got nurseries and babies and people coming and people gone and all that. If I respect time, you don't have to do this. I'll do this for you, okay? We are living in unprecedented days. We're going to just let them tell you what their plans are. And then we're going to watch them do it. But remember, as that's happening, God is in complete control. No matter who's in the White House, Jesus is on the throne. Okay? We have nothing to fear. I think Jesus would come. Jesus, we're sort of freaking out a little bit about what's going on, you know, and our president can't complete his sentence and doesn't know where he's at, and his handlers, he can't answer this question and he'll get in trouble. The president of the United States will be in trouble, he says over and over again, if he answers this question. Isn't this surreal? But when we've read the scriptures, should we be surprised? I would say we should not be surprised by what's happening in the world today. Is that Siri checking in? I heard you, Duke. I heard what you said. When I read Revelation 13, totalitarian control. You see, it wasn't about COVID. That's our next Sunday school hour. It's about control. COVID was not a pandemic. It was a plandemic. You see the documents from 2011, 2015. Dr. Fauci talked too much, laid out. They had the vaccines in preparation. So you create the problem and you already have the vaccine ready. Do you know how much money they've made through the COVID thing? And how they have unleashed horror on this planet? The devil plays hardball. Now, when I read Revelation 6 through 19 through the years, I see one-third of the world dies, one-fourth of the world dies. You see this mass death in the tribulation time, Revelation 6 through 19. And then I hear them, in their own words, say, the document I'll give you later this week, we want to take world population from 7.3 billion to 1 million, according to Schwab, and 500 million, according to the actual document. Schwab's added another 500 million. That's their stated objective. And then I look what's happening. Is it a coinkydink or is it a plan? You know, when you look at the world death rates in the Spanish flu in 1918, you have the world death numbers 1915, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. When you look at the national and the world death rates from COVID, 1918, 19, 20, 21. Now it's starting to spike. It's starting to spike now. And I don't think it's from COVID. I think it's from the cure of COVID. Amen. Just saying. Hope I'm wrong. But I think we underestimate how evil Satan really is. He's the father of all lies, and he is a murderer from the beginning. His goal is to take people to hell. Yeah. Hell was created, Jesus said, for the devil and his angels. Isaiah 5:14 says, hell hath enlarged herself because of the hardness of man's hearts. Misery loves company. Satan knows his days are numbered. Amen. The greatest sign of all was the big in his face thing. Tonight we'll look at that. The Holocaust, the rebirth of the modern state of Israel. I got a story to close with. It'll blow your mind. It gives me goosebumps just to think about it. And so Roach said, "What's happening, man?" Roach and I both found out. Roach is in heaven now. He just died about a year ago. Came to Christ about 6 years after I did. Lived his life for the Lord. A lot of hippies going to be in heaven. Amen. It's all come together, folks. I get nervous. I have 8 grandchildren and 1 already in heaven. Caleb Michael Herget is in heaven. He died the day before his birth. His birth due date in the womb, stillborn. Can't wait to see him. I'm so ready for Jesus to come. I'm just so done with this world. If you're not done with this world, come to New York for a month. You'll be done with this world. And I get concerned about my grandkids. And then Jesus says, "Dude, I love your grandkids more than you do." Amen. Jesus would say, "Dude," I think he would, dude, "it'd be better for a millstone to be hung around Hochul's neck and for her to be cast into the sea than mess with one of your grandkids." Don't mess with the kids. America has messed with our kids. 63 million dead ones, and their blood cries from our soil. We're going to look at Russia, Ukraine. You know what we do? We watch a movie or something on TV or whatever it is, and we say, "Who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy?" And then we root for the good guy, right? So we have the campaign of Armageddon coming. Northy, southy, easty, westy. Who's the good guys? Who's the good guy in Ukraine? Is Putin a good guy? Nope. Is America, is Ukraine the good guys? I'm going to show you they're not. Here's America. We're the good guys, right? We ain't the good guys anymore. You know who the good guys are? Jesus people. In Russia. Jesus people in Ukraine. Jesus people in America. Jesus people in China. But all of them, the governments, are evil. We remember when we thought America was good, amen? I studied the CIA. Oh my, they embarrassed me. Bible says there's none good, no, not one. But there are those that have been redeemed. Out of every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. Those are the good guys, the redeemed. And so God has chosen to reveal this to us who seek him. For those of us that will stand up and face truth. Because if we love him, the Lord Jesus, we're going to be hated here. And if we choose to be loved here, we'll not be loving Jesus. He said, "He that is not for me is what? Against me." He wasn't kidding. That wasn't a teaser. And so, in closing today, the most important question is this. And this is a question we want to hit again today for the second service and tonight and Monday night and Tuesday night. Are you ready? Jesus is coming to deliver us from this present evil world. Galatians 1:4. Are you ready? He's coming. Question is, will you be going? Have you received Christ as your Savior? That's the most important question. If you bring visitors, I promise you, by the power of the Spirit of God, not me, but the information I share with you will speak to their hearts. It'll draw them in. They already know something's bad's up. We're going to explain it to them. Section by section by section. And so, are you ready? Number 2, this is for all of us. This is for me. What are we doing with the knowledge we have? Man, we should be lit up. The one thing about COVID in New York, people are open to listen to me now. They're all masked up, double vaxxed, maxed and vaxxed, and they're scared. And I'll ask them, I said, do you think it's a pandemic or a plandemic? And they're like, I started out as a pandemic, and they're open to listen to the gospel. We have the answers. They have the propaganda. Why should we be afraid of them? They need us to rise up without fear and boldly proclaim the name which is above every name. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to sing a song, and I'm going to bow at this altar and ask for God to anoint me every service and keep my voice up, and I feel great, ready to go. This preacher's going to wear me out this week. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I hear what God's doing here. People getting saved in the jail. It's awesome. God's doing things. He wants to use you. He wants to use me as his bright and shining lights in these worlds. I'm going to rededicate my life to standing for Jesus. I got to witness to 4 people in my trip here, changing flights, get to talk to people everywhere. They're listening. They're listening. They're listening. They know something's wrong, and we've got the answer. Let's do something with it. And if you're not saved today, if you're not sure, when we stand, when we sing, I want you to come forward. The preacher will be here, and you have leaders in your church. We'll bow with you. We'll open the scriptures. We'll show you how to pray. June 18th, 1972, I got on my knees at Cook Road Baptist Church in Mansfield, Ohio, and I prayed a little prayer like a child. Dear Lord Jesus, I know he was leaving. They didn't like that. They kind of been told over and over and over again, I'm going to Jerusalem. You'll forsake me. No, we won't. Yes, you will. I'll suffer. I'll bleed. I'll die. I'll rise again the third day. He told them, and they didn't get it. But in this chapter, he said, I'm leaving. And, oh, we don't want you to leave. We like you. We like to see the multitudes fed and walk on the water. That's really fun stuff. And he said, but I'll come back. The fact that Jesus came changed the whole history of the world. You know, up until a few years ago, it was, you know, today would be 2022 A.D. I know they've changed it to C.E., Common Era. But it's really A.D., Anno Domini, the year of our Lord Jesus, after his death. Jesus, whether you believe in him or not, changed the history of the world. We have more evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have evidence that Julius Caesar was ever emperor of Rome. Nobody argues that. So Jesus came, changed everything. And he said, I'm coming back. I think that's pretty cool. And they, when he told them that, they immediately asked him a question. What shall be the sign of thy coming? That's what I would have asked him. And he told them. A whole bunch of stuff. We're going to be looking at that this week. I call the conference Convergence. Here's why. Words of Jesus. Matthew 24, verse 34. Verse 33. Matthew 24, 33. And I think if I remember right, you guys stand in honor of the Word of God, right? Yes, let's all stand in honor of the Word of God. And let's read the Word of God together. The devil hates this. Let's rub it in his face. Words of Jesus reading together. Verse 33, Matthew 24, 33. Here we go. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things. Let me say that again. All these things. Know that it is near, even at the door. And if I remember right, this is what I did and you guys do. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name.